Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Five questions, five answers. We do this every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio for the Zach Gelb Show. We call it Onside's Offside. Hot take hickey. Without further ado, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside, defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
You know what I just thought about, Hickey?
What is that?
So we are on a collision course in 2 weeks for the Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona, between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm seeing all these videos of Eagles fans just going bonkers in Philadelphia where they grease the street lamp poles, and it still doesn't matter. You have people like standing on top of these poles and just going nuts like in Center City. And you know, Philadelphia knows how to throw a party and they love their Eagles. And last night was absolutely bonkers. And you know that the Eagle fan is going to do a wonderful job traveling out to Arizona for the Super Bowl. And I've been to a bunch of Super Bowls where the crowd is always like weird because, yeah, you'll get your fans from both teams, but you get so many neutral fans. Like so many fans that have no dog in the fight, and they're just there and they take up seats, obviously, because the tickets are so expensive. And you don't really get a home feel on either side. Now, if I had to guess, there's going to be more Eagles fans than Chiefs fans, even though Kansas City has a great fan base and Chiefs fans get very loud. But if you see some of the videos from yesterday of Joey Bosa getting harassed by Eagles fans and then Joey Bosa giving it back to the Eagles fans, can't you just see some very, let's just say, interesting interactions with Mahomes' wife and Jackson Mahomes and the Eagles fans? Now, I don't know if it's a little bit more tamed at the Super Bowl because it's not with 70-something thousand people at Lincoln Financial Field. And I'm sure the Mahomes family will be in a luxury box and tucked away with a bunch of security. But yesterday, Joey Bosa was in a luxury box, and that did not prevent Eagles fans from showing photos of Trevor Lawrence and Joey Bosa's freakout up against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that Chargers choke job. So I have a feeling like there's going to be some very interesting social media content between Jackson and Brittany Mahomes and the Eagles fans.
I mean, I kind of hope so, to be honest. Now, I will say I'm sure the Eagles fans and Brittany and Jackson will not be probably anywhere near each other Super Bowl week. I said outside of a luxury box that's kind of right up against the stands, which maybe then all of a sudden the chirping will start. But
and also, to be fair, I don't know the luxury box layout in Arizona.
Especially for a Super Bowl where it's not like a home game where I don't know if they're going to put, you know, I don't know how it's going to work, to be honest.
Well, let's put with Mahomes' contract, he can afford it. Any luxury box.
Oh, no, nothing he couldn't. Like, I don't know, like, where they place him. Like, you know, at a home game, obviously, you kind of, it's
you
preferential.
Have spot, you have your box.
I don't know, like, how they're going to divvy that up for a Super Bowl where, like, are they going to all be in one row? Are they going to be, tucked away? Are you close to the fans? I don't even know if the luxury box is near, like, where the fans sit. I can't recall how the Cardinal Stadium layout is, but I'm sure if Eagles fans can get close and chirp within earshot, they will be letting them to hear it all game long.
Could you imagine just Brittany Mahomes screaming at an Eagles fan? Oh, that's going to be some compelling content.
That's actually probably a fight I don't want to see. Yeah. Two insufferable.
Well, I just don't want to hear Brittany Mahomes or Jackson Mahomes like screeching.
Oh,
because we talked about it earlier. So Mahomes' father is lighting up the cigar, which I thought was hysterical, even though he was like using matches and it took him forever to light the cigar. But you just hear in the background, Brittany and Jackson Mahomes just screaming. And as much as I really do enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes play, I almost root against him just because I don't want to see Jackson and Brittany Mahomes with these just cringeworthy videos where I guess it's in love and support of their brother and right their husband. But the screaming just from Jackson and Brittany Mahomes just drives me bonkers.
Feels like I'm back in high school again. Well, I feel like it's like if you get like a high school student section, like that's like the behavior you would get. The high-pitched screaming.
Like in the lunch cafeteria.
For no reason. Yeah, that's brings you back to some dark days. Not really dark days, but it's just not fun.
Well, when I was watching Mahomes' dad light the cigar, I go, "Can you just light the cigar already?" Because you just heard the screeching in the background by Jackson and Brittany Mahomes, and I didn't even realize that he was using matches. You were the first one that told me that and pointed that my way, because I literally all I could hear was the screaming, and that was the only thing I could focus on. It's a very identifiable scream from Jackson and Brittany Mahomes.
They do an excellent job of making you hate them.
Yeah,
that is for sure. They do a great job every time.
And I can't ever remember like disliking an athlete because of who his wife is or who his brother is, but very insufferable. Very insufferable.
Yeah, I was trying to do a quick like search in my head. I guess you're right. Yeah, there's not really family members that you would really just are that controversial, polarizing.
Most of the time, the family members are like popular. Like Donna Kelsey, for example. She's going to be like an American hero. Because she gave birth to Jason and Travis Kelsey, and they have like great personalities. It seems like an awesome woman. But just with the celebrating, I will get like showing support for your loved one. But I don't know. It almost seems like fake to some degree that you're just doing it for the clicks.
I was just gonna say doing it for the talk.
Yeah,
doing it for the views and the
for the ticky
notoriety.
Talk. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
let's talk about Patrick Mahomes.
You know what's gonna happen now. Since your phone's always listening to you, I'm going to get all Brittany Mahomes and Jackson Mahomes reels popping up all throughout the day tomorrow.
All throughout the next 2 weeks.
It's all going to be the screaming ones, too.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some old ones, too, like the champagne spraying. Yeah.
Hey, Siri, I love Brittany and Jackson Mahomes. Maybe that means then that they won't show me any of the videos.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully the phone.
I'm in a no-win situation now.
Yeah, now you're, you love me, hate them, you are. Either way, you're getting a lot of their content coming your way.
Andy Reid eating cheeseburgers. I'm all for that content.
Now we're talking.
Show me those videos. You give me videos of Andy Reid eating a cheeseburger all throughout the week, I'm good. Or Nick Sirianni, Stoner Sirianni, eating that crappy pizza that he orders, that's fine. The moment we get Jackson and Brittany Mahomes, I'm out. Go Eagles.
He is out. All right, let's talk about the Mahomes family, but, you know, the talented one. That is Patrick. Is he helped gut out an incredible.
Hold on. That's not nice.
Is he not talented?
Well, I think Jackson and Brittany are talented on social media. I didn't know.
Talented at annoying you.
I think Brittany Mahomes played college soccer, I think.
Did she?
I think so. I want to say at Texas.
To be honest, I know nothing. Yeah. Outside of them yelling, I know nothing about.
Yeah, she was a soccer player at Texas. All right, anyway, go ahead.
All right, well, let's just talk about Patrick Mahomes, the one that people will say this. Instead of being the most talented, the one people enjoy to watch the most, because he helped gut out an incredible win for Kansas City as they do advance to their third Super Bowl in the last 5 years. Playing on a gimpy ankle, Mahomes threw for 326 yards and 2 touchdowns, while also rushing for a first down late in the game that did help draw a penalty for a late hit out of bounds that put Kansas City in field goal range to eventually win the game. Now, the former MVP was able to put up this big performance while wide receivers Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, and Kadarius Toney all exited the game at various points with injuries. Onsides or offsides, outside of his Super Bowl win back in 2019, this was the most impressive win of Patrick Mahomes' career.
Great question. Now, this is just in the postseason?
No, overall.
Oh, overall. So his entire career.
Entire career. Outside of the Super Bowl win over the 49ers.
You know what comes to mind right away? When they were down 24-0 to the Texans. And the fact that they were down 24-0 to start the second quarter. And they went into halftime with a 4-point lead. Like, they were down 24-0. They ended up winning by 20 points. They won 51-39. Mahomes in that game had 5 passing touchdowns, 321 yards on 23 completions. Yesterday was really impressive, but I think putting yourself in a 24-0 hole and taking back that lead in one quarter is just more impressive, so... Offside, when you say outside of the Super Bowl performance, this is the most impressive win of Patrick Mahomes' career.
Offside.
How would you answer that?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I think it is. With the injury, with the wide receivers that getting hurt, I would say this is more impressive to me. And just getting owned by the Bengals, more impressive than 24-0. More impressive than last year's win of the Bills. Where would you rank this one in terms of the Bills last year? If you say 24-0 is better than this, is yesterday better than last year's insane overtime? I forget the final score. Back and forth game against the Bills, which you scored 13 seconds left.
So I actually think last year against the Bills was also more impressive too. Even though, like, if you look at it from he was playing on one ankle and still won a game, sure. That's
with
tough
no
to
Tyreek Hill and three receivers out.
Being down, though, with 13 seconds to go, no one thinks you're even with Mahomes, no one thinks you're getting the ball in field goal range.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So I would say the Bills one and the Texans one, they come to mind right away. And then, like, I'm not saying this one's not impressive. It clearly is impressive. But it never – here's the thing. You thought they were losing the game against the Bills. You thought even up 24-0, they're losing that game up against the Texans. Another Andy Reid, just bad performance in the playoffs. Yesterday, they were in control of that game, and the only time you had to sweat was when it got to 20-20 and Burrow had the ball twice, and your defense made a play. So I thought those two, it looked like they were more going to lose than this one since they had the lead and then blew it, where in the other ones, it was they had to come from behind to get the job done. So that's how I answer that. Anyway, continue.
Let's stick with that game because the officiating in this one left a lot to be desired. Kansas City was facing a 3rd and 9 midway through the fourth quarter, and they got a redo because of an officiating error and then was given a first down on the next play after an Eli Apple penalty.
By the way, I apologize to all of our fans in Houston. Tyler Milner, who does a good job producing their afternoon show with Ron the Show Hewley and Clint Sterner. I like both those guys. He goes, I was having a good day, Zach Gelb. Then you go and bring up 24-0. So I apologize. Also,
Sorry, Tyler. Don't
blow a 24-0 lead and be a crappy organization. But things are on the up. DeMeco Ryan's probably coming to the Texans.
Hopefully Will Levis too. Fingers crossed. Things are turning around in H-Town. Things are not turning around
I know they don't have Jack Easterby in that organization anymore, but like, what spell did Jack Easterby put on DeMeco Ryan to go back to the Texans?
Great question.
That sometimes was his parting act. See, Cal, you want to get rid of me? I'll show you who's boss. I'll get you Mufasa. How you like me now?
Well, that's a positive, at least. The negative was still the officiating yesterday's game. The Chiefs, after they got the redo, the extra down, they did not score in that drive. The Bengals did get a stop, and they were eventually forced to punt. Later in the game, Joe Burrow was flagged for intentional grounding, despite the fact that Samaje Perine was in the area of the pass. That the Bengals did convert the next play, though. They had to punt later in that drive. And then finally, Joseph Asai, he was flagged for unnecessary roughness. That did move the Chiefs into field goal range with just 8 seconds left, and they eventually did hit the field goal, as we know, to win the game. Onsides or offsides, Zach, officiating didn't impact the actual outcome of the game between Chiefs and Bengals.
The officiating was atrocious. But with everything that you could throw at me, even if you want to say they missed the Hendrickson hold, even if you want to say they missed the block in the back, if you just don't hit Mahomes out of bounds, and I know they could have done a quick pop with 8 seconds left to do a 5-yard out route, right? But if, let's say, that was an incomplete pass, you're looking at like a 60-yard field goal if you don't hit Mahomes out of bounds. So with that being said, that's why I, even though the officiating was bad, I don't think it really impacted the end result. A, Kansas City was the better team, but B, if you get to that 60-yard field goal and the guy just hits it, like, there's just nothing you could do. But it was a legit call at the end. It wasn't as if that was a bad call. You may not like the timing of it, but it was the right call. So I'm not excusing the officials, Hickey. But any time, for the most part, you had something like the intentional ground, and the next play, you had Burrow bail at the refs. The 3rd and 9 where you got it again, which was stupid, Kansas City did punt on that drive. So I think the game, even with how bad the officiating was, it's easy to bitch and complain about it, but I thought the right team won, so I go on sides on that.
I was coming
for someone that picked the Bengals, too.
Fair, very objective. When we talk about the most visceral reaction from Sunday's action, it had nothing to do with the games itself or even the officiating. It instead came from the colors the Empire State Building did don. After the Eagles crushed the 49ers, the New York landmark was lit up in green and white to celebrate Philly's Super Bowl appearance, much to the chagrin of everyone in New York. After the Chiefs won, they did switch the colors to red and white, so they were being fair and celebrating both teams' advance to the Super Bowl, but lighting up green and white in a city in which your team is fierce rivals with New York, Philly, Giants, Eagles, did not go over very well whatsoever. Onsides or offsides, the Empire State Building should not have saluted the Eagles for their Super Bowl appearance.
I know you're trying to make like all national news, but you're in New York. Why in the first place are you lighting up the Empire State Building with the winning team of a game between San Francisco and Philadelphia? Like, do you get that?
I will say they've been consistent. They lit it up black and red when Georgia won the national title a few weeks ago. So I think this is a tradition. I don't know why. Because they think they're a world monument or a USA monument instead of a New York monument. So they think, oh, we got to celebrate everything that's going on. So whoever wins the World Series, we're going to, you know, for the, I think they lit up for the Astros, orange and blue. I'm not 100%
sure. Did they really?
I got it. I mean, I'm assuming so. If you're doing the Eagles, you have to do the Astros. I will double check here, but I'm pretty sure. I know for a fact they did it for Georgia a few weeks ago. I was like, oh, that's kind of random.
Like, is that a thing with, like, in D.C., are they lighting up landmarks and things like that in the team's colors?
No, I don't think was it the National Monument, right, the pencil? I don't think that gets lit up in, let's say,
yeah, so why
green,
are you lighting up
Kelly
the
green.
Empire? Like, it probably did look cool, but I think you got to understand you're in New York. I don't think you could be lighting it up with Eagles colors. That's just me. So it's one of those things that they just do for publicity and right. Oh, you know, we're supporting the AFC and NFC champions. But, yeah, I would say that, yeah, they should not have saluted the Eagles for their Super Bowl appearance. Now, with that being said, and New York really is a problem. Go yell at your football team, even though they had a really great year. The Giants didn't even have a pulse in that game. But I'll go on sides on that.
They have lit up, by the way, Astros colors recently.
That's actually worse.
So, yeah, they...
That is like, not that I'm a Yankee fan, but that is actually worse with the animosity between the Yankees and the Astros with, like, recent playoff performances where the Astros have just owned the Yankees. Now, the Giants the last 5 years have just been horrible up until this year. I know that you always hate the Eagles if you're a Giants fan, but I actually think that's more egregious, lighting up the Empire State Building with Astros World Series colors. That's bad.
That is really bad. That is really,
again,
really, really bad. But they got the attention they wanted.
If you're the Yankees, you could have beat them on the field if any Yankee fan has a problem with it.
Empire State Building, just like the Mahomes family and just like the mayor from Cincinnati, injecting yourself, making yourself the story when it's not about you.
That's a little bit of a reach, but okay, go ahead.
Trying to tie it all together.
That was an unnecessary jab at the Mahomes family.
I mean, am I wrong? We just spent the first 5 minutes of this segment talking about them and how annoying they are.
Yeah, but I got to defend them on this one.
And you have poor Pat Mahomes Sr. trying to light a cigar, and there's Jackson basically shaking him, blowing out the lighter.
Yeah, that's why they couldn't forget the wind. They couldn't light the cigar because Jackson and Brittany Mahomes were screaming.
That's it. So poor Pat Sr. trying to get that victory cigar lit. Can't even have any more fun. All right, on the other side of the Eagles' win, it was some bad news and some sad news for the 49ers and Brock Purdy. Is officially today, Tom Pelissero is reporting that the rookie quarterback completely tore his UCL and most likely will need surgery. Now, the hope is that the surgery be more of a repair than a reconstruction, which means he could be back in time for training camp. If Purdy does need Tommy John surgery, the timeline for a return would be much longer than 6 months. Onsides or offsides, Zach, Brock Purdy will still be the 49ers starting quarterback week one.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good because at best case, he comes back in August. You know, would he potentially have to start the year off pup? Like, what does Trey Lance prove in the offseason? Do they go get Brady this offseason as well? I'll go offside. I'm just going to assume that he's not going to be healthy enough.
Offside.
And finally, the Broncos head coaching search has taken another turn.
What a disaster, by the way.
As Ian Rappaport has reported over the weekend that Denver owner Greg Penner flew to Ann Arbor, Michigan this past week to have a meeting with Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh interviewed with the team back on January 9th, but then announced he was staying with Michigan. Rappaport reported that conversations between the two sides have continued the last few weeks and that the Broncos job is still one that Jim Harbaugh is definitely interested in. Onsides or offsides, Zach, Jim Harbaugh should leave Michigan to go coach the Broncos.
So I thought Harbaugh was going to leave this offseason. But when you've released like three statements that give the indication that you're coming back, and the most recent one was talking about how much like you love the president and everything. At this point, the fact that you're at least taking the conversation, we thought this is over, shows that you want the job, but clearly there's like one thing that's not being offered to him. And I can't think it has to do with money. They're the richest owners in the NFL. I don't think it's because they won't pay him whatever he wants. Maybe he wants George Payton out. And maybe he wants control. And they just don't want to get rid of George Payton. Like, that's, I'm serious. That's like the only thing I can think of on this one, Hickey.
No, I'm just more laughing. I'm just picturing, like, you know, George Payton sitting there like, all right, bullet dodge when, like, the Jim Harbaugh says he's going back to Michigan. Yeah. Now you're just like, oh, here's my owner flying to Michigan. Oh, this is not good, but.
Because it was Greg Penner who went. It wasn't the GM.
Right. Yes, it was the owner. Because he was not there the first time when they were over Zoom. He missed out on that meeting.
That is just me. Gut reaction. That's what I think it is. But it also shows you how desperate this Penner ownership group is because they can't get anyone.
I was going to say, if not Jim Harbaugh, like, who else? Like, seriously, who else? Everyone else has withdrew their name.
They don't want to give up the capital for Sean. The Harbaugh situation, I guess he's still alive for the job. D'Amico Ryans, right? Wasn't he supposed to be the favorite for this job?
Yep.
And then after Harbaugh and Payton, I guess, said no or you couldn't get a deal done, he says, I'll go take the Texans job. I think it shows you what a lot of people are afraid of, and that is Russell Wilson not getting back to form, and then you have all this money tied up into a quarterback. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going in a division up against Mahomes and Herbert for the foreseeable future. So you ask me, should Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan coach Broncos? Yes, because he's still talking to them. So just go at this point. But remember, this was not going to be a yearly occurrence for Jim Harbaugh. Liar, liar, liar. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, the NFL head coaching search for the five jobs that were open, you know, one official, Frank Reich, is the new coach of the Carolina Panthers. Uninspiring, if you ask me. You know, Reich's a solid coach, but I thought they should have just kept Steve Wilkes if they're bringing in Frank Reich for the last 2 years. Even though he had a good start to his Colts tenure, just I thought did a miserable job with the way that it ended in Jacksonville 2 years ago. And then this year, you lose twice to Tennessee. They did not have a lead once at halftime this year, constantly unprepared to start games. I just thought this year, Frank Reich, and then at the end of last year, did a horrible job. That's not a move that gets me really excited if I'm a fan of the Carolina Panthers. If you're a Texans fan, I do think with the expectation is that D'Amico Ryan's going to be your coach. I saw that J.J. Watt tweeted out a photo of him and D'Amico Ryan, so everyone's under the belief with the way the reporting's gone, and now that it's just inevitable that the official announcement is coming anytime soon. And quite frankly, Hickey, I don't know about you, I think them getting D'Amico Ryans, from the names that you heard, assuming that Sean Payton was never taking that job and that Harbaugh was never taking that job, that's the hottest name on the market in terms of guys that were actively coaching in the NFL. Now, how many times do you hear a defensive coordinator is supposed to be great or an offensive coordinator is supposed to be great, and then they're just not made to be a head coach? I don't think that will be the case with D'Amico Ryans. I was getting any talent. We all know that. But for the Texans, where the last few years has just been dreadful and they're hiring coaches that they don't actually want to hire and then they're going to fire them a year later, like Dave Culley and Lovie Smith, who both should have never been hired in the first place. This is like the first time in a while that you're going to hire a coach and go like, yeah, we're excited if you're a Texans fan. And this guy's supposed to be a guy for the next 4 or 5 years. Now you'll see if it'll end up working, and you know Kasari's going to have to start hitting on these draft picks. And we'll see who they get in as a quarterback, if that's they trade up to one to make sure they get Bryce Young, or if maybe the Bears don't trade the pick and then they have their guy at two, whatever it may be, or if they like both Stroud or Young and one does end up going one, that they end up getting their guy too. The Texans, I'm going to... Now, I don't know what's going to end up happening with the Broncos and what ends up happening with the second kind of effort to go get Harbaugh, But I don't know if there's going to be a better hire this cycle than D'Amico Ryans landing with the Houston Texans, Ziggy.
Outside of probably Sean Payton going to Denver or Carolina
or Arizona
with the Cardinals, excuse me. Yeah, like off the bat, yeah. Like I don't think there's a team that you could say hit a home run more than the Texans in this cycle of these five teams.
Like, for example, I went to Panthers fans and said, would you rather have Frank Reich or D'Amico Ryans? I think they'd rather have D'Amico Ryans. So far, you already beat out one team in terms of excitement. And just because you make an exciting hire doesn't mean the guy ends up being great. Like, look at Nick Sirianni. That was as unpopular of a hire as you could make. Now the guy's coaching in a Super Bowl. But you look at the other three jobs. I saw that Brian Callahan, the guy that you want to get the job, the offensive coordinator for the Bengals who doesn't call the plays, he is supposed to be, right, the guy. Is that the top candidate in Colts land? I know it's your top candidate. But is there a name that everyone is kind of like universally loving or not so much? Because most of these names are rather pedestrian with the Colts.
No universal guy. Raheem Morris has gotten a lot of support. Brian Callahan, Shane Steichen. Those are kind of really the three names that everyone's kind of going between.
And Jonathan Gannon must have known that D'Amico Ryans was getting the Texans job. Because after the game, he told Breland Moore, who works for Fox in Philadelphia, that he's not going anywhere. He's staying. So I guess he must have been informed that he wasn't getting the job and they were going with D'Amico Ryans. I guess they're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's on the contract. But you look at the other three jobs, and let's just say that the Texans job is closed and it's going to be D'Amico Ryans. Now, who knows? I don't think D'Amico Ryans is going to pull Josh McDaniels, but you never know. The Cardinals now are interviewing Lou Anarumo, so that makes me think that they're not looking to, or the Sean Payton thing just didn't work out. They interviewed the guy for 8 hours. If you're going to interview a guy for 8 hours, why is he your head coach? Maybe it's a compensation that the Saints won and they don't want to give up the third overall pick. I guess that could be likely. I know that they interviewed Brian Flores. I thought if it wasn't going to be Sean, it would be Brian. But Brian's also was interviewing for DC jobs. So it's kind of weird when you have a guy interviewing for defensive coordinating jobs and also head coaching jobs. The Colts, we talked about how kind of boring their search is in the Broncos. I thought Harbaugh was going back, and now they're trying to get Harbaugh back in the conversation. So, you know, they're not going to get Sean because you're going back to Harbaugh. Hey, the more and more this goes on, it seems like Sean's going to be back on set at Fox next year. And I actually think that would benefit him because these jobs kind of nothing really that gets you excited. And I think you just kind of wait for more jobs to open up next year. We had 10 a year ago, 5 this year. You probably think probably like 7 or 8 open up next year. Maybe there's a more intriguing job or you have a team that has a shortcoming in the postseason, that has a good roster, that you could walk into a better situation than any of these other jobs.
I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment when I say this. This feels like the weirdest coaching search maybe ever.
It seems like a very boring one. But like barring Harbaugh, surprising, I don't even know if it would be surprising anymore, but taking the job and Sean, right, at this point, not going back to Fox and taking a job, like, where's the excitement? For the Cardinals, Colts, and Broncos, what is going to make really, other than it just being a job, like a national talking point for either of those three jobs with the way it looks like it's going to be shaping out with now D'Amico Ryans supposedly off the board with it looking like he's going to the Texans?
I mean, in terms of splash hires, there are none outside of the two names you listed, but again, like as we learned, that's not exactly, you know, the end-all be-all.
Sure.
Again, there's plenty of examples of guys that just, oh, okay, solid head coach, and all of a sudden next, you know, 3-4 years, it's one of the, you know, top five coaches around. So winning the press conference or, you know, getting that higher and having everyone go crazy to begin with really doesn't mean much anymore. So it's,
but
with that said, no one's going to be, you know, quote-unquote winning the press conference, if you will, assuming Payton and Harbaugh are not hired.
And you look at the Broncos job, I think the biggest attractor there is it's Russell Wilson right now. Like, you just don't know if he could be great again. The Colts job, they have so much work to do with that. They have so much money invested in the offensive line. The offensive line stunk this year. You don't usually like to build a team with the running back being the best player, even though I think the world of Jonathan Taylor. And the Cardinals, you basically don't have a quarterback this year because who knows when Kyler Murray's going to come back. So I kind of look at all three of those jobs, and it's like, maybe you want to just wait till next year. If I'm a hot coach on the market. But once again, like, who are the hot coaches right now? Other than Harbaugh and Sean Payton. So I don't think there's going to be really a large reaction or anything when these three moves get hired, unless you have Harbaugh and Sean going against where we think they're going to go, where it's going to be like, wow, look at what those guys did. But to your point, how many times does a coach get praised and then stink? How many times does a coach get killed when he gets hired and then ends up doing a phenomenal job? Marco Belletti is here. By the way, Marco, this Empire State Building where they lit it up in green for the Eagles and then they lit it up in red for Kansas City. Do you find that bizarre at all?
Yeah, very.
And Hickey was telling me, and I actually think this one is actually worse because the Giants up until this year, the last 5 years, have been embarrassing. Now, I know that the Eagles are always a big rival, but Hickey said when the Astros won the World Series, they lit the Empire State Building up in Astros color. Like, if you were a Giant, that's what Hickey said. He said he looked it up. So if you were, now you are a Giant and a Yankee fan, I think you're more annoyed about the Yankees lighting up the Empire, or not New York, lighting up the Empire State Building in Astros colors, because like I know that there's always history between the Eagles and the Giants, but the Astros, the Yankees literally lost to in those postseason moments.
Let me say this, because I did happen to notice this on Twitter, where this is where I saw all these colors. I think if you just light the Empire State Building up in different colors, we don't know. As New Yorkers, I mean, I'm going to speak for some of us here. When you're driving by and you see the different colors, do you ever know exactly what they mean all the time?
Oh, God, it's cool.
Right. Oh, look, they're red tonight. Like, you don't really know. So I can see that getting away. I think the thing that annoyed Giant fans wasn't the colors. It was the fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, and the tweet.
Yeah. See, now you go past just the, well, we're lighting it up because there are the participants in the Super Bowl. And it felt a little personal at that point. Well, once you throw in the fly, Eagles fly, then it's like, all right, what are we doing here? We're gonna do the sing the song. Like, then it felt where it was like, all right, know where you are.
Now I know it's New York, and right, sometimes you feel like we're the center of the world, so you got to be involved in everything. But it's kind of a slap in the face to New Yorkers, I would say.
Again, that part of it did. Yeah. Now, whether or not they always light up, I don't know. Yeah. If you told me every year that they do this for every participant, I'd be like, okay.
I'm following Hickey. That's what he said.
I don't know that. And I'm sure that there was plenty of times that I was driving in to New York and saw it and was like, oh, look, it's green today. Or, oh, look, it's blue. And you don't even realize, you don't know what the story is. But that tweet just felt a little bit more like it was overboard, in my opinion.
855-212-4CBS. Let me go to Jonathan, Wisconsin, wants to chime in on the Empire State Building. He actually wants to defend the Empire State Building. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for the call, or taking my call. I think with the Jets and the Giants now being over in New Jersey, it's kind of a moot point, ultimately.
But they've always been in New Jersey. You know, in recent memory.
They call themselves New York, and they're supposed to be from New York City or what have you. But, and I apologize, I'm driving home. I can't look up the colors, the tweet, the pictures, anything. I don't know how sophisticated the system is, if it was like an Eagles teal more so, or if it was just a green. The green and white could, you know, just people looking at it could say, hey, maybe they're doing it for the Jets.
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks for the phone call. I don't think that had anything to do with the Jets when they're tweeting out fly, Eagles, fly. And also, the whole part about the Jets and Giants playing in New Jersey, that's how you tell that this guy's from Wisconsin and he's never actually been to New York. Because when we say New York, it's New York City. I know people are going to say, oh, Buffalo's in New York. No one considers the Buffalo Bills. Like, when you say New York's team, you think of the city.
I mean, are we going back to like Ed Koch, where he wouldn't let the Giants have the first parade in 86 and told them to have it in Munaki in New Jersey? And again, I get it, this is a national river, but like, stop. They've been in New Jersey for 50 years almost, both of these teams. We've grown accustomed to it. It's closer to probably get to East Rutherford, where they are in New Jersey, from the city than you are in anywhere else in Jersey. It's probably easier to get there from the city. It's 10 minutes. Stop. I mean, granted, there's traffic. It'll take you 2 hours, but that's just the way it is. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. That was a funny phone call to me, if you ask me.
I mean, again, am I going to get nuts about it? No, it just seemed a little unnecessary. Again, with the fly, Eagles, fly. You're telling me that they have some sort of promotion or they get paid or whatever it is, that they do this for every sporting event, for every team that goes into whatever. I go, okay. I honestly don't know the answer to that, and I've lived here my whole life. We never, I feel like I'm speaking for New Yorkers, all of us, New Jersey, New York, whatever it is. We see it lit up in 100 different colors all the time. We never know what the hell it is for. Yeah. Like, we know it if you're telling me that the Yankees won the World Series and you see, like, oh, the Giants won the Super Bowl, it's blue. Like, yeah, that makes sense because it just happened. Otherwise, you drive by, it's different colors all the time.
And I think if you're the Empire State Building, you got to double down. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I think you got to do it again.
I don't think they have a choice. I feel like they got paid already. Like, isn't this, like, out in front? There's got to be a contract somewhere. I just don't think in the contract it said, tweet out, fly, Eagles, fly. I feel like that was unnecessary. Congratulations to the Eagles. Move along.
If I was from Philadelphia, I would try to, you know, sell out the Empire State Building, you know, throw them some extra money, and you get like a disco ball that drops if they win the Super Bowl, and like it's chanting fly, Eagles, fly out of the Empire State Building.
Again, see, that's where it feels like it's personal. No? I mean, it just seems unnecessary. You can do it without going over the top.
I could just see Marco walking past the Empire State Building, and it's like, fly, yeah, Eagles, I mean, fly.
You know, like,
Marco's like, stop!
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
All right, Zach Gelb, just CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with a closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free, all on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com. Via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, and it's all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I respect greatness. I respect toughness. What Mahomes did yesterday was awesome to watch. 29 of 43 on one ankle, 326 yards, two touchdowns. And according to Elias Sports Bureau, Mahomes now has led three lead-changing drives in the playoffs that began with a minute or less on the clock. No other QB has more than one. Give a stock up to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. How about those Chiefs? Or going back to the Super Bowl. The Kelce family, first brothers to actually play against one another in a Super Bowl in Travis and Jason Kelce. Give the Kelce family a stock up. Chris Jones, you're a bad man. He was the most dominant player on the field yesterday between the Bengals and the Chiefs. Made the timely sack, had two sacks in the game. Was just absolutely phenomenal. Four tackles, two sacks, three tackles for loss, and five QB hits. Give Chris Jones a stock up. Hassan Reddick, from walk-on to the 13th overall pick in the draft, bounced around the last 3 years, three different teams, 10-plus sacks in all three of those homes, and now back home in Philadelphia. He grew up less than 15 miles from the stadium. He has two sacks, a tackle for loss, a fumble recovery. On the year is 19.5 sacks as the Eagles are off to the Super Bowl. Give the hometown kid, Hassan Reddick, a stock up. Sirianni. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Both not thought to be popular when they were Sirianni was hired to be the head coach and Jalen Hurts was drafted, I guess, to back up Carson Wentz. Now they're both going to Super Bowl. Give them both a stock up. Howie Roseman, you want to talk about a guy that was counted out? Office got moved when Chip Kelly was at the end of his tenure. Then they made him back into the GM, into the position of power. Wins a Super Bowl. Then everyone thought, including yours truly, that he should have got fired after they got rid of Doug Peterson. And he somehow finds a way with like every offseason move hitting this year to win back the fan base. The Eagles are back in the Super Bowl. Give Howie Roseman a stock up. The referees. I don't think it impacted who won and lost the game, but there was a lot of bad officials yesterday in that AFC title game. And I can't get the one official blowing the play dead after, and then you let it play out. It was just a disaster. They get an extra down. The intentional grounding made no sense to me. You could talk about the missed block in the back. It was a bad day for the officials in the AFC title game. Stock down. Chargers hiring Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore is overrated. Staley and Kellen Moore, don't like it. Stock down to the Chargers. Kyle Shanahan, you win the toss. Take the ball, you dummy. Up against the Eagles. Jeez Louise. Also, how did you not challenge it on the Devontae Smith play? And then at the end of the half, it's 14-7. You have a Josh Johnson in the game. just run the ball and go into the locker room down seven. He didn't do that. They end up fumbling. Eagles, they make it 21-7, give a stock down to Kyle Shanahan. Brock Purdy had a wonderful year, just an unfortunate ending. Now may be out for bare minimum 6 months with his UCL injury. Stock down to Brock Purdy. And finally, the Bengals players. A lot of smack talking before that game. You can't call it Burrowhead and then lose. You just can't do that. And even though you were down for most of the game at 20-20, you had two opportunities to go win the game. And you did it. So stock down to the Cincinnati Bengals. Big thanks to Mike Pereira. Big thanks to Herm Edwards. Big thanks to each and every one of you that called, that listened, that tweeted, that Instagram messaged me. At Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you give it a follow. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Kiki. We'll be back tomorrow. Brandon Graham from the Philadelphia Eagles will join us. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.